Luke, Han said, you do hear? Shut down the drives in 3, 2. Luke gave the outer skin a little extra push. Now! June pulled the throttles back. Then the image of the DR-919A slid away, the counterfeit glare of its sublight drives forcing everyone on the flight deck to close their eyes. Luke angled the illusion off to port, as though the vessel were attempting to go around the pirates. Meanwhile, the DR-919A remained cloaked by the second camouflaging illusion. The lock alarms fell silent, and the cold ache inside Luke slowly began to recede. A flurry of streaks and flashes filled the forward viewport as the pirates opened fire on the counterfeit DR-919A. Luke continued the illusion's gentle turn, keeping it well ahead of its attackers and drawing them farther away. His skin felt dry and papery, and waves of heat were rolling through his body as the cytoplasm inside his cells began to boil. He did not let up. Finally, they could no longer see the pirate cruiser in the viewport, and the DR-919A's navigational display suggested the ship was well beyond turning back to intercept them. Luke continued to hide their real vessel while moving the decoy even deeper into the miasma. There were still plenty of pirates ahead, and they were the least of the DR-91A's problems. Han and R2-D2 returned to their work on the power grid, and the silver crescent ahead swelled steadily to a disk with one dark side, then to a hazy half-orb cloaked in white vapor. The cold ache in Luke's stomach had diminished to almost nothing, but had not faded completely. As they drew close to the planet, the system's star assumed the form of an immense silver maelstrom, sucking in vast quantities of nebular gas. The planet itself became an alabaster glow with no distinct edge, a cloud of white brightness surrounded by the dark flecks of a dozen moons. The DR-919A's rudimentary sensor package could not penetrate the dense clouds in the planet's upper atmosphere, but the heavy concentration of ice crystals indicated an abundance of water below, and the world's general mass and size suggested a rocky core. The moons were easier to survey. They were all about 8 kilometers long, egg-shaped, and radiating heat from a core area near their thick ends. Those aren't moons, Han said, looking over Tarfang's shoulders. They're nest ships. Luke immediately felt like a fool. Until that moment, he had believed the problem with the Utagetu nests was basically a misunderstanding, that Raynar and Unu had become upset over the fizz and allowed their anger to place them temporarily under the sway of the Dark Nest. But there were 15 nest ships here, one for each of the 14 nests the colony had established on the Nebula Worlds, plus an extra vessel for the Dark Nest. Even the Killix could not have built such a fleet in only a couple of months. Either all of the Utagetu nests had been under the Dark Nest's influence for most of the last year, or Raynar and the rest of the colony had been part of the plan from the beginning. Luke felt betrayed either way. Hoping the pirates would be fooled into believing their quarry had escaped into the nebular miasma, Luke gave the decoy a final burst of speed, then let it drop and turned to Han.
I guess this answers our question, Luke said.
He still had to concentrate to speak, as he was continuing to hide the DR-919A. It's pretty clear why they've been so desperate to trade for reactor fuel and hyperdrive coolant.
Yeah, but I really wish it wasn't, Han said.